Good morning and welcome back to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Tuesday, I sit down with somebody from West Texas A&M University and discuss what they do in their department and what they do here at West Texas A&M University. Today, we have Dr. Brock Blazer, who is the Department Head of Plant, Soil, and Environmental Sciences here at West Texas A&M. How are you doing today, Dr. Blazer?
Doing great, Bryce. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. So you're actually one of my own professors in plant science, which is awesome to take. But what do you do here at West Texas A&M? But before that, where are you from and what got you here at WT?
Thanks, Bryce. Yes, I've been at WT now for a little over 13 years. I came here out of graduate school from Iowa State University, originally from Idaho, actually. And I've been here now, like I said, for 13 years. I teach in the plant soil science area. Grew up on a farm in Idaho. Grew up around education as well. My father and grandfather were both in education. And so to be here at WT and to continue that pattern has been a highlight for me. And I've enjoyed every minute of it.
So I know here at WT and especially, you know, up here in the Panhandle, we're constantly having to do some research behind the farming that we do, whether it's from wheat all the way to corn to sorghum, whatever it may be. So what's some of the research that you've done or your department has done for some of the Panhandle farmers?
Great question, Bryce. Yeah, so we have an opportunity, since I've been here, to actually develop some research plots at the Nance Ranch just east of Canyon. And so for the last several years, my graduate students and I have been doing most of our research out there. Some of our other faculty do the work with scientists up at Bushland, but most of the work I've been involved in is out at the Nance Ranch. Most of the work that we've done has been looking at forage production. You know, grain production definitely is obviously a big driver, but we recognize that we're in the situation both physically on the ranch with limited amounts of water, that we're not going to be able to give those crops the water they need to really test some of those larger grain-producing crops. And so we focus more on forage production. We've tested a lot of different things over the years, from pearl millet to sorghum to intercrops with guar and sun hemp. We actually just had two graduate students complete their thesis research this semester. One was doing intercrops with cowpea and millet and sorghum. And the other one was doing sun hemp and sorghum. And so we're looking at different combinations, whether it's intercrops or sole crops. Those combinations, looking at crops that are going to obviously and hopefully use less water in the coming years when the typical crops that we now are growing, corn and others that demand more water, are going to be harder to support. And so my goal with that research is identifying those crops that need to be produced when the water shortages continue to increase.
So I know, especially our listeners know at KGNC, we're always talking about how much of a severe drought we're in, especially with the winter wheat. A lot of it didn't come up this year or is very, very poor in the ratings. Going off to the forage aspect, what can you tell, you know, farmers and ranchers, what do they need to do to better prepare themselves? Because this drought could be another few months, could be more years, could be another decade. We don't know how Mother Nature is going to work. What can you tell them to kind of prepare, or any ideas to help them out through these trying times?
Sure. That's a great question, Bryce. And I don't know if we all had all the answers there, then we'd be able to solve all the problems. But one of the reasons why we focused on forage is that crop's going to grow when it gets water. And so we may not get enough water to produce a full grain crop, whether it's wheat, sorghum, corn. But if we get some water, we'll get some forage, even if that's only just to graze cattle, on, you know, stalker cattle out on wheat. But if even growing these millets and sorghums, if we get some water, we get some forage. And that's where it's kind of a safer option for some that have some land that they don't have irrigation, or they don't have a lot of irrigation that they can rely on, that we can put those forage crops out there and they'll get something, even if it's just to graze some cattle. And so that doesn't sound like a real optimistic approach, but it's still a safe approach when it comes to limited precip options.
So I know that the PSES department here at WT plays an influential role in basically everything we do, whether it's in the building or even out in the ag industry. So for even students that want to be involved or are kind of interested in PSES, what are some of the maybe undergraduate programs, graduate programs that y'all offer in that department?
Sure. So as you see, PSCS, Plant, Soil, and Environmental Science, we kind of include it all together. For a long time, the WT Plant Soil Science program has been focused mostly on the plant science side, mm-hmm. agronomy, more focused crop production. A couple of years ago, we were able to hire a new soil scientist, and she's really been able to strengthen that soils part. And then Dr. Marty Rhodes leads out on our environmental science side with whether it's compost, air quality, those kind of things. And so really the opportunities for our students on campus, really they can go down any one of those tracks. They can come down the plant science and crop production side, including pest management. They can go down the soil side. They can go down the range science side with Dr. Steffens, mm-hmm. or they can go down the environmental science with Dr. Rhodes. And of course, we have other faculty that support each of those programs. But over the years, we've seen a lot more students, if they don't have a direct connection to agriculture or a home farm, for example, we have a lot more students that are coming in that have an interest in horticulture. Mm-hmm. And so we had a horticultural faculty with us who's taking other positions. We're in the process of hiring a new horticulture faculty member. We recognize that's a great opportunity, whether that's xeriscaping your yard, taking care of your lawn and your trees, or greenhouse production. We have a lot of interest in the area of some more greenhouses going in with some vegetable production. And so we really address a lot of those areas. And right now, I'll tell you, Bryce, the opportunities for students to get a job in any of these plant soil science areas is outrageous. We cannot fill the positions that our industry folks are reaching out for graduates. We don't have enough. You know, so I say it all the time, I can guarantee a student if they want to come and be in the plant soil science area, we'll get them a job and we'll get them several options because there's plenty of need out there and demand for those graduates right now.
Exactly. I know so many jobs rely heavily on the research and development that's behind your department, whether it is in the plants or whether we're testing soils or even looking at the future with our environments. As well as getting involved in our degree programs, I know that you actually run a judging team. So could you talk about a little bit what you do as a coach for that team?
Sure. That's kind of a fun little side gig that I get to do. Here in the Department of Ag, we have a lot of teams, a lot of competing teams, and I'm sure you've had several of those folks come on before. But shortly after I got here in 2009, I was approached by a colleague from Kansas State who has a crops judging team and trying to grow the crops judging program around the country. And it's always kind of funny to talk about judging crops. we don't go in and necessarily give reasons for why this corn plant looks better than that corn plant. But what we do is we really give these students a great exposure to essentially everything that they're learning in our courses becomes applied in the contest. Mm-hmm. So plant and seed identification, weed identification, disease, insect identification. They get into the soils. They get into a lot into math and calculation. So they're calculating anything from fertilizer application rates to irrigation rates to anything else in between. They spend a lot of time understanding equipment and really anything related to herbicide, pesticide use, and so forth. And so these teams come in with a breadth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. They're actually trained in preparation. If they choose to make it, they can take the Certified Crop Advisor exam. That's where all this content is based around. And so some of our industry folks like to have their employees be CCAs or Certified Crop Advisors. And so this contest really prepares our students to take that exam and gives them an opportunity to apply essentially everything learned over the course of their degree. Mm-hmm. I've had multiple students that go through the team with me that say, this is finally the class where I put it all together. and they do. I mean, it's intense. They have to know a long list of plants and seeds and weeds, insects, diseases, and they do a great job. And it's also a lot of fun traveling around the country, competing with a lot of schools around the nation in the contest.
I'll tell you, it is actually a really cool contest to be a part of. Well, I think that wraps us up, Dr. Blazer. I got to tell you, thank you so much for coming on and getting to be a part of the KGNC program and getting to talk about what happens in the PSES department.
Sure. Well, thanks, Bryce. It's fun to be with you and happy to do it anytime.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC studio. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your day.